Fashion Tech Applied is published. My co-authored book taking you through 6 chapters and covering the technologies and innovations powering the fashion industry. I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to the special podcast series Applied. Each episode, I'll be sitting down with incredible fashion tech professionals that are featured inside the book. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Cedric Van Hoek, founder and CEO of Resortex, a recycling solution that allows fashion garments to be disassembled through dissolvable threads and heat machinery. We need more people like Cedric, dreaming of fashion tech solutions by using their training outside of the fashion space. Cedric himself trained as an engineer and then in fashion, which both experiences have led him to solving one of fashion's dirty habits, the fact that most fashion products cannot be recycled. Featured in chapter 3 of the book, we learn from Cedric what it's really going to take to kick this habit.
At the size of your company, you should be working on plan B and plan C, and that kind of mismatch between different departments and between the management and the more operational people within some of the big fashion brands is really surprising, and the misunderstanding on the European legislation as well is almost shocking. So like you say, banging your heads against the wall is what you do.
Let's get into the conversation with Cedric on this episode of Venturing into Fashion Tech. How are you today, Cedric?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for coming on today's podcast show. For our listeners, Cedric is sat in front of his amazing home library, which I think sets the tone for this episode. We're going to be delving very deep into Cedric's recycling solution, but also the whole topic around circular fashion as well. I want to set the scene for our listeners. According to the European Environment Agency in 2020, European textile consumption had, on average, the fourth highest negative life cycle impact on the environment and climate change after food and drink and transport and housing. It's pretty bad, shall we say. And I think you're going to talk more about this a little bit later on, Cedric, how we're trying to counteract all of that negative impact that is done by the fashion industry. The EU strategy for sustainable and circular textiles aims to ensure that by 2030, textile products placed on the EU market are long-lived and recyclable, and to a great extent, made of recycled fibers. That is the pipe dream. I think the fashion industry is very far from that at the moment. I think it's great that, of course, we're having regulations come in now and solutions like yours working with that regulation. But I think a lot of fashion brands have many things to do before it can reach that stage. And I'm sure you'll elaborate on that a little bit further. In the case of Resortex, it's feeding into recycled fashion to ensure that products are disassembled. And that's the guise and perspective that you're putting on the term recycling. And the parts are used and or converted into new materials. Of course, recycling can come in many forms, but before we get into your solution, Cedric, I want to know about your story. You come from the fashion industry, but you don't necessarily come from recycling or supply chain. You formerly trained as a fashion designer, so you know about product and production, but you shifted from design into creating your hardware solution for the fashion supply chain. What was that journey like? Take us on how you come to the realization that you needed to create this solution.
Yeah, so it's my personal background starts with engineering, and then it ends, at least during my studies, it ends with fashion design at the Antwerp Fashion Academy. So I really had a kind of schizophrenic background, you could say, going from diehard engineering from a technical university to a very artistic fashion school. And it's those two that really clash together, the engineering and circularity principles with the reality of a fashion designer. Understanding as well how this industry works, what the task is of a fashion designer, which is mostly defining personality, cultures, expressions, and much less about how products are constructed. And so it's that really brought me to the fact that we need to de-responsibilize a little bit, or at least alleviate a bit pressure from circular design from the fashion designer and make it more an industrial sturdy process. And then from there on you start looking into industrial processes and you need to step away completely from design almost. Well, there is a lot of design in industrial processes as well, but not the way that we look at design in fashion in general. But it's something that comes step by step, and every time you go further you increase capacities and you make a solution, a system, and from a system, a process, and that process becomes an ecosystem. And then this way you learn by doing and advance step by step.
And what was it like going from engineering school, which I can imagine is all about those, you know, right down to the millimeter details, where, as you know, as you said there, fashion school is about creativity, is about expression. What was that like for you personally?
The biggest problem was that there was no problem, in the sense that an engineer is always solving a problem. So the first thing you do is to define what they call the problem definition. So it's analyzing the context, understanding what is challenging and what should be changed. When you design a collection, there is no problem. Normally, you're not solving a problem. Of course, you can link this personal expression to emotional needs and a need for storytelling and those kind of elements. This is what I used as a kind of tool to make it possible to design fashion. I never expected it to be so difficult for me to design garments because of the fact that there was no problem to be solved. So it was very tough for me the years at the academy.
So then you finished fashion school, you created a collection, is that correct?
I didn't finish it. So I finished the collections, and then in the midst of the second year, I quit. I took a sabbatical, which was quite often people taking sabbaticals in Antwerp. The difference is that my sabbatical is still ongoing after 7 years. So that is the only difference. So I took a sabbatical to get things straight and to take the time to reflect on this. I went back to see if I could combine the startup on that moment and Antwerp Fashion Academy, but that is clearly not really possible. So I decided then to not come back to the academy and to quit.
And then was it always your goal to be an entrepreneur, or you just felt like this problem within the fashion industry is just so huge and therefore you wanted to make a good go of it regardless if it worked or not?
It was really the problem that was calling, and it really felt a bit as a calling as well. I left the engineering and I went to the Antwerp Fashion Academy also because I wanted to enjoy myself more and be less busy with circular economy and all those problems. And in the end, when I arrived there, the first thing that I encountered was again that same topic. So it came back multiple times, and it became more and more clear what exactly I was going to work on. And that's why I decided also to stop, in the sense that no, it's so clear I need to do this because nobody's going to do it anyhow. It feels like this, and I felt obliged to persevere in ResortX.
I like that notion, how you call entrepreneurship a calling. And for many people, it is a calling. I think certainly for myself, when I started to get on the entrepreneurship, you know, bandwagon, it's something that you just know that you have to do. Of course, entrepreneurship skills can be taught and people do learn along the way. But first and foremost, it's a huge risk for most people. And I think it's about overcoming that fear to start your own thing, which is kind of what you've described. And for ResortX, it's working out so far. You know, you're getting a lot of traction with the industry. You've got your factory or your product, shall we say, your hardware. You've managed to get government grants. You managed to get equity investment as well. So it's slowly coming together for you, which is not easy for such a hard subject to tackle. But for our listeners that don't actually know what ResortX is, how do you describe it?
Yeah, so what we do with ResortX is we make it possible to recycle clothes, because often at home as well, when you have your waste, you need to sort it. So you put a paper aside from a banana peel and from your plastic bottle. The same needs to happen with your clothes if you want to recycle. Only difference is that in case of clothes, everything is stitched together. So it looks really like as if your banana peel would be stitched to a bottle, and that you then need to see how you can get those two things separated before you can start sorting them and be able to process them correctly. And that bottleneck of dismantling, that is what we solve with ResortX. And we do it with a very peculiar or unique way, which is a combination of stitching threads that can heat dissolve, but that are used on existing stitching machines that don't change anything in the final product. So you walk around with your garments, it's just stitched with a thread that we call smart stitch. You don't see anything about that. There's nothing special. The only difference is that it can heat dissolve, and that process we do in machines that we developed to be able to do that in a very high scale. So an industrial scale, we speak about tons of products per day. under very controlled environments to secure the material qualities, and with mechanical systems combined with that heat to make sure that everything that was stitched with smart stitch is then also very, that is separated. So can you imagine you have a, for example, a very complex jacket that is full of buckles and lining and elastic bands, and that is not recyclable. You put it in the machine, and on the other side, you have a complete dismantled jacket coming out. So you have all different materials and pieces and zippers and buttons detached from each other coming out of that machine. And that can then be sorted by industrial machines to be able to get to pure waste fractions, like it is called. And then you get cotton, polyester, nylon, zippers, buttons, all separated. And this can then be sent to recyclers that are specialized in each of those different materials.
I think the key thing there, right at the start, you said your smart stitch is like acting like any other thread, and it goes into the normal sewing machine. I think that's so key for many new circular solutions. And I think it's about, if you want brands to adopt your solution, it has to be integrating into the existing system as easy as possible. I always remember this conversation that I was having with my family who had actually factories in China. You know, my auntie would always say she gets ridiculous requests from fashion brands that want to do something in a certain way on a machine. And she's like, but you can't do that. It's physically impossible. And I think that goes the same way then for, you know, circular solutions as well. How can you fit within the existing framework, push the needle slightly with a solution, but not too far where it becomes a headache for people? And then you describe then the way it dissolves. And I think for our listeners, obviously can't see the factory right now, imagine big ovens. And I think that's how you described it to me the first time we ever met, Cedric. These big ovens that you basically put the garments in and it dissolves the threads. And for anyone that has bought Fashion Tech Applied, the book, Cedric is featured in chapter 3. And inside the book, there are actually diagrams and images of the hardware solution as well, and how the solution works from a process perspective. So that's inside the book if you're watching the video. In the book, you say that the solution allows fashion brands to be flexible and highly creative. When I'm thinking of recycling and creativity, well, to be honest, those things are not in the same thought most of the time. But I think it's very interesting how you say that, that your solution can enable that. Can you tell us how the two are linked and why you think Resortex can enable that?
If you want to make it very easy to recycle, then we would all walk in t-shirts and sweatpants, right? And then sweatpants without an elastic band, but with a cord in cotton, and then everyone would be happy. The reality is that that's not what we want from a technical point of view. If you think about a backpack, you want to make sure that the zipper is good and is not breaking, and that when it's raining, your paper inside your backpack or your book is not getting wet. The same for you, for your expression. You want to be able to wear clothes that are interesting, that are nice, and that is what the job the designer is doing, is making very interesting products. And often the more interesting products are the ones that are more complicated and the ones that are combining many materials and making it harder and harder to be recycled. But if you can stitch this and assemble it with techniques that are easily reversible, allowing for all those materials to be separated afterwards in a very effortless way, then you don't need to limit yourself anymore to choosing one material and to make monomaterial products, like it is called. You can make multi-material, multi-layer products that are more complex, as long as all those different components can be separated, and that the cotton that would be a recycling blocking point for the nylon, and the nylon being a recycling blocking point for the cotton, can be separated and don't have any recycling hurdles anymore, and can be processed without having a limitation in quality or in creativity when you assemble or design your product.
I guess this is the fashion designer side of you coming out. Is that correct?
Exactly. That is the fashion designer coming out and saying, like, this is what we need. We need to have that flexibility in design. You don't want to limit anyone. Any of the key stakeholders in this whole industry cannot be extremely limited. So you need to make sure, like you said, that the people producing don't need to change their sewing machines because they have invested hundreds of thousands or even millions in infrastructure and stitching machines to be able to produce. So you need to be able to use it on the existing stitching machines. You need to make sure that the designer is not fully limited so that in the end they can still do their job like they want to. And the same is applicable for the collector sorter and the recycler. You need to make it as effortless for all those key people that are allowing you to close the loop in fashion. And this is not just a recycler or not just a collector sorter or not just the manufacturer and not just the designer. It's all of them together that need to have benefits from it, or at least the least pain or the least limitations.
I imagine though, for the product developers that you're working with, you know, in your clients, how did they get the notion of creativity and then your recycling solution? Does it take quite a while for them to get their heads around, or is it instant? Like, does there have to be some sort of educational process that happens from your side as well?
There is some education process, and depending on the product manager and the industry, this goes quicker or it takes more time. There are some people that, for example, are making firefighter jackets, people that are product developers there. They are very, very savvy on how things need to be constructed to protect seams, to etc. So if you explain them what is needed, they can quickly make garments that can be easily dismantled, which is sometimes less the case in more regular fashion brands, where this concept of designing for more, well, pains and problems, problem design is less there. And so sometimes it's not super clear for them how certain seams or certain materials could block the disassembly. So there is some learning there to optimize and to also choose materials that are recyclable, because it's one thing to dismantle, but if you then dismantle a product that is made of materials that nobody can recycle, you just dismantled for the fun of dismantling. So there is some learnings that need to happen, and this is what we support the brands and the product developers with. But overall, it's still simpler than to design a zipper that is monomaterial and that has the same quality as a metal zipper or any other type of zipper that we have today.
Yeah, so you mentioned there's some fashion brands that, you know, they might have some difficulties overcoming just that mental block. But you have worked with brands, for example, like Bershka, and if you look in the book, you see the collection that you developed with Bershka. So, you know, it can be done. You've also worked with Decathlon, and you released the outerwear jacket as well. Of course, very opposite. One is fashion, one is technical, but theoretically, they're both dealing with products of some kind. With these brands, what was a starting point? How did they get their head around using Resortex? What do they hope to see at the end?
Most of the time, it's brands that try to do monomaterial and then failed somehow or encountered the difficulty and the limitations that it can bring. Brands that try to do recycling and saw that they're wasting a lot in the disassembly process, and saw that from a financial point of view, it's not worth it, because if you lose already 50% of your material before even recycling, then what yields are we speaking about, and what financial and material efficiencies do we have? And so once they encounter those things, they come to us to say, okay, we made, in the case of Decathlon, we made a monomaterial ski jacket, but we still have elastic bands and zippers that we cannot get monomaterial. We need to get them out. Can you help us with that? And then it's specifically targeted on certain parts of those products to be able to take out only the elements that are blocking, in their case, chemical polyester recycling, and the rest is ready to go. So this is how most of the time it happens, is people that encounter the inefficiencies in the disassembly process and the difficulties of monomaterial design. Those are the best people to work with, because they really understand the value of what Resortex can bring.
So those are the best people to work with. What are the worst ones, Cedric?
the ones that don't have a clear idea on what the European legislation is bringing as risks for them, that are still not getting that there is going to be market access issues from feedstock and recycled material availability bottlenecks. The ones that don't understand that climate change can really result in big supply issues of materials like cotton. And that you should start to think about getting side streams of those raw materials, which are recycling is one of them. And that there as well, you need to work on different solutions. So the ones that are looking for the ultimate solution, that is the only one they're going to use, because that is the one they're going to invest in, are most of the time also not the best ones, because choosing one is not going to solve. You will have to choose three or four different strategies in parallel not only go for organic, not only go for recycled, not only go for chemical recycling, but have to go for different disassembly, different recycling, and different sourcing solutions to make sure that you will be able to cope with the insecurity that the coming years are going to bring from environmental, geopolitical, and legal point of view.
I can imagine, like, with some of these potential clients or people that you have meetings with, it's like banging your head against the wall, and if they're not getting it.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes you really think, like, you are a super big company. You are producing millions of polyester products, and it seems as if you don't have any strategy on securing recycled polyester. And you're buying it because it's easy to buy from polyester bottles. But if you would have done your homework, you would have seen that the PepsiCos, the L'Oreals, and the Coca-Colas of this world bought all the polyester bottle recycling and producing companies almost to be able to control this feedstock. So how can you be so sure you will be able to still have recycled polyester from PET bottles? Like, at the size of your company, you should be working on plan B and plan C. And that kind of mismatch between different departments and between the management and the more operational people within some of the big fashion brands is really surprising. And the misunderstanding on the European legislation as well is almost shocking. Yeah. So like you say, banging your heads against the wall is what you do in the meeting and what you do after the meeting to be able to de-stress a little bit and get your frustrations out.
Yeah, I think it's great that, for example, people like yourself, Cedric, you keep on banging your heads against the wall because ultimately, as you said, climate change is happening and the world's resources are dwindling as well, or they're being reduced so much and something has to be done. I don't think you're alone there. We've had other guests on the podcast show where they have similar experiences and they may speak to a brand that understand right at a top line level the notion that something needs to be done, but when it comes to doing action and putting investment into it, quite often that is the blockage as well. Or they do it at a very small scale that actually the impact can't really be measured, which is kind of frustrating, I think, for both sides, because then it's not meaningful enough, which I think is a nice segue into my next question. You know, the Decathlon project, the Bershka project, they're really, you know, gold star standards of showcasing what disassembly recycling can do and how it can be done. In our previous conversations, you know, for example, the Decathlon project, you're not going to see that recycling action happening until, you know, a few years down the line, just because they've only just entered into the market. They need to be worn and used first, but before they come back to the Decathlon brand for recycling. So again, it is going to take a longer timeline for it to see the results. Because they are so, you know, very one-off projects at the moment, how can then the fashion industry build a system where recycling is baked into the core product offering?
But that's what we are working on with some of the brands. So we are now approaching, well, the goal, if everything goes really well, we will have more than 1 million products produced with Smart Stitch by the end of the year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. We are not there yet, so that's not...
But nearly there.
We're not selling the skin of the bear before it's shot, like they say in French. But we're really working towards really bigger implementation. And the goal is really to be able to repeat this. Of course, this is repeating threat orders. This is not systemic implementation of the solution. And so what we're working on now this year, specifically and next year as well, is really working towards that system implementation, both on our side, making our solution a system instead of just a one-of-a-kind solution, but also on the brand side to implement this on as a system. And for some companies, like workwear companies, this is going to be easier than it is for fashion companies. But everything is there to be able to do that. The connections with collector sorters, the proof of recyclability with recyclers, the readiness of certain fashion brands already should allow us to really be able to think about systems more than just, like you say, small collections and one-of-a-kind collections. This is good to prove that things are working, but now we need to start implementing the real solution, which is the whole ecosystem and the traceability and defining the ownership of waste and materials prices and validate really the business case that has been validated step by step, block by block, but needs to be integrated.
And I mentioned at the start of the episode the EU strategy that is aiming to help you know, textiles and fashion garments become, you know, more long-living and recyclable. Do you think we are ever going to get there anytime soon?
I think we should. I think we are. The European legislation is quite fantastic. I'm just afraid for the directives to be too much diluted in national law. But the most important things are regulations, luckily, like the ESPR, the Eco Design for Sustainable Product, is a regulation, it's not a directive. So I think that the really key elements are really going to become regulations, and that this will really unlock things. So I think that, yeah, we have all the technology needed. We have the legal framework, still not completely clear for now, but by 2028, it should be completely clear. And that framework should be sufficient to allow us to really make a circular transition. The question is, how easy is this going to be for the industry, and how well is this going to keep competitiveness in? And that is linked to the openings and the cracks in the legislation. And that's why I'm so afraid of the directive sides of things, where national law could dilute so much things that in the end we have open doors for all the other products that are not complying to those regulations. And we are killing ourselves by, instead of setting the high standards and requiring those high standards for every company that wants to do something in Europe.
So in other words, you're essentially saying that in legislations there are going to be loopholes to allow brands to take shortcuts, essentially. And if we're talking about ease, I think most brands will want to take the shortcuts wherever possible.
Exactly. And then if we really ensure or try to avoid as much as possible those loopholes, then we will be able to really get to a circular fashion. If we are making, really, instead of having a wall and a web full of holes, then it's going to take us much more time to get to that circularity. And that's just because of the competitiveness on the global level. So it's, for me, technically speaking, we are there. We just need to have now the brands really commit. And to be able to do that, we need to have a very strong legal framework that is requiring the same for everyone globally, at least for those that want to sell in Europe. And if we do that well, then the chances are very high to succeed in a circular transition that really makes sense in fashion.
And then in regards to, earlier you mentioned that it's not going to be one solution that's going to be the silver bullet. We have to work together, you know, several solutions together that will make a circular fashion system. Obviously, with Resortex, you're dealing with hardware, which is only one facet of making sustainable supply chain. In the book, you do actually mention how digital solutions can also strengthen the hard tech element, such as yours. How can the two unite to become the superhero, shall we say, of circular fashion?
Yeah, like digital solutions, especially regarding traceability and exchange of information, are critical to unlock efficiencies in disassembly and recycling. So the digital product passports and the IoT elements like the RFIDs and databases that are going to exchange information on products between different stakeholders are going to be critical to, in our case, for example, be able to sort out products made with Smart Stitch from products that don't have Smart Stitch at the collector sorter facility. And by doing that, we will be able then to secure as well that we will be able to dismantle them and that we're not going to lose those products everywhere. It will also allow to exchange information with end customers, facilitate the collection of those products. So on different levels, it really allows us to optimize processes that together will make this circular economy a business that makes sense economy, so a rentable economy. Because now it would be just a circular, expensive economy, a costly economy. But if we optimize everything and using digital solutions to further optimize all the different steps, we will be able to get to high profitable circular economy. And that is what we need to have, because otherwise we are also going to fail completely. If profitability is not achieved, we are not going to have a nice and successful transition.
It sounds like the Avengers of circular fashion are assembling. Is that correct? Which Avenger are you, Cedric?
Which Avenger am I? Oh, I need to choose a color, or it's a personality. I don't know.
You can choose whatever you want.
Yeah. I'm one of them. Like, it doesn't need to be. Because, like you said, it's something that everyone is doing together, right? It's a teamwork. Each one brings that skill set or that technology that is and or the the legal framework that is needed. So we, just as the Avengers, we need to work together to make it work.
Well, okay, that's fine. You can be the brainy one, Cedric. You can be Iron Man.
Great.
You can be Stark. On that note, I just want to finish off this episode with a quick fire round of questions. So the first answer that comes to your head, are you ready?
Yes.
Have you read Fashion Tech Applied yet?
No, I didn't read it because I didn't get it yet in my hands.
It's in the post somewhere.
Yeah.
Last fashion item that you recycled?
Last fashion item I recycled? I think it's an old t-shirt that I brought, to an collection bin.
One thing that you think the fashion industry is getting really wrong with circular fashion?
That it's only costing money.
An item that you'd like to dissolve?
Item that I would like to dissolve? Populists. Well, around the world, all the very populistic leaders, if we could dissolve them, that would maybe be a good idea.
Yeah. I like that answer. Best piece of advice one entrepreneur wanted to build a circular fashion solution?
It's to listen and ask for advice and to validate your assumptions.
Thank you so much for your time, Cedric.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very nice.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.